Number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call.
Jap?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number six, proof of publication of meeting notice. I have proof of publication of the meeting for tonight. It will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation on bids for FY 2022 district vehicles and equipment. Nicole?
Good afternoon. I'm here today to present the bids for fiscal year 2022 district vehicles and equipment. So in conjunction with the approval of the FY 2022 budget, requests for bids for the purchase of district vehicles were opened on September 29th at 10 a.m. Bids were advertised for 2 consecutive weeks in the Omaha World Herald, and specifications for bids were mailed to 39 local vehicle dealerships. The first vehicles for bid were 2 2022 full-size four-wheel drive, 1 1/4-ton trucks, replacing the district's 2012 and 2010 F-350s. Budgeted amount for these trucks is $90,000 with the service bodies. We received one bid of $60,012 from Gene Steffi for 2 2022 Ram 4500 trucks. Staff recommends that this bid be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2010 and 2012 F-350s. The remaining $29,988 will be used for the service bodies.
Nicole, I had a question.
Yes.
You say we had one bid?
We had one bid, Gene Steffi.
You sent out all those notices and you came back with only one bid?
Yeah, we had 5 people come out and look at our trade-ins. 4 of them were Ford dealers. Okay. 1 was a Ram. None of the Ford dealers bid.
All right, thank you.
The district also had out for bid 2 2022 half-ton crew cab trucks. These vehicles will be replacing the district's 2013 Ram 1500 and adding a project manager's vehicle. The budgeted amount for these two trucks is $72,000. Again, we received one bid of $72,050 from Gene Steffi for 2 2022 Ram 1500 trucks, and the staff recommends that this bid be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2013 Ram 1500. $33,525 of the total amount will be reimbursed by Rural Water. And the final vehicle out for bid was one 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee. This will be replacing the district's 2008 Ford Ranger, as we discussed in May, that had 105,000 end-of-year miles and almost $18,000 in maintenance. The budgeted amount for this vehicle is $30,000, and again, we received one bid of $27,601 from Gene Steffi for 1 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the staff recommends that this bid be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2008 Ford Ranger. For equipment, the district had out for bid 2 new John Deere diesel mowers. These will be replacing the district's 2 2010 Hustler mowers. The budget amount for these mowers is $32,272.02, and this was the state contract pricing. The staff recommends this purchase of 2 new John Deere mowers from Acres Equipment with a state contract total price of $32,272.02 with the trade-in of the district 2010 Hustler mowers. Sorry. And then finally, the staff recommends that these bids be accepted as presented.
A motion on this item.
Move a staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Correct.
Are the riding mowers also part of the state contract?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
I'm
wondering where that.
The vehicles. I think the Ford. They're just having a hard time producing vehicles.
Yeah.
Chip shortage, whatever.
They ended production early on their super duties, and yeah, they just don't have. I don't think they thought that they could either provide us with something or in a timely manner, so they just didn't bid.
Yeah. We're probably lucky we got the ones who did it.
Any other questions by directors? Roll call.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jap?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number 7, review and recommendation on Amendment 2 to the professional services contract with Thyra Engineering for WP2. Amanda Grant.
Good afternoon. Mike Sotak with Fire Engineering is here also. Bill, can we go to the map, maybe? So WP2 is flood control reservoir located about 180th and Giles, and the district started design in 2017. FIRA Engineering was awarded the professional services contract to do a preliminary design that wrapped up in May of 2018. So since then, there was one amendment that took that 60% preliminary design and kind of got it through the plans mostly final, and looked at some extra geotechnical work that we needed to look at for the dam. So now that we are going to look at some adjacent development that's going on right to the north, and also with the bond issue that the district board has passed, we have a little bit better layout of the timeline for this project, so wanting to move it forward. So we have an amendment number 2 for the FIRA Engineering Professional Services contract for your consideration this afternoon. And the pieces of that, there's some final 404 permitting, just some final back and forth to get that completed. And a few different things with the final design. One of them is just addressing some comments from Game and Parks. They have a little different focus on things they want to do from back when we did the preliminary design. So just kind of picking up a last little few things for final design. And then other than the construction administration and observation, which is really the big portion of this contract, there's an addition to, we're going to stage the construction of this work because this development to the north is already mostly in, and the homes will need the sewer connection that connect on this south side of the lake that Gretna put in. We had an interlocal with them a few years back to put that sewer line in. So the plan was for the sewer to go under the water quality basin. And in order to do that, we've talked about a number of ways to do that, but we think that building the water quality embankment with the sewer is probably the best way to go to get that embankment built correctly. So that just changed. We're going to talk about that in the next agenda item more, but that changed a little bit of FIRA's scope just to have, we'll have two bid packages so we can get that sewer done in the timing that we need to. And so then, as I mentioned, I mean, the largest part of this amendment is really the construction observation, which, so this contract should take us all the way through finishing final plans, putting it out to bid, and observing the project as it's constructed. So the amendment is $967,940, and that would bring the total of the contract to just over $1.6 million. So if you have any questions, Mike or I would be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you very much. We have a motion on this item.
All motion for staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Japp.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When this was initially let out, was there any estimate of how much this would cost in total? Is this in line with what our original estimate was, or is this above or below?
For the engineering?
Yes.
I would say it's in line with other engineering contracts that we have, definitely. We don't really estimate what the engineering is going to be, because they all have different considerations. For example, this one has some kind of weird geotechnical things going on.
So it's impossible to know if this is in line with what's done.
Especially the construction observation. You know, we've for the reservoirs, we've done a number of them recently. We like to have people on site, you know, all the time that work's going on, and that's very consistent with what we've been paying on other projects.
Any other question?
That's all the questions I have.
Any other questions from the directors? Roll call.
Keiser?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Minsky?
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Aye. Thank you. I think you're up next. Item number 8, review and recommendations on interlocal agreement with SID 347 for sewer connection project at WP2.
Okay, can we go to the map again? So I think it's just easiest to look at on the map. So this, I just touched on that on the previous item with the amendment FIRA. So this development north, moving forward, streets in, houses coming, and they need, so this red line on the south side of the reservoir is a Gretna sewer main that was put in just a couple years ago for a lot of the development in this area. And we worked with Gretna to go around the dam, and the district cost shared on the little piece that crossed under the dam. There's a gas line here. There's all kinds of constraints. So it was kind of a complicated sewer line. But that is the main. And then this development, and this is actually developing also to the north. There's just, it's all over out here. But they need to cross the creek to get to this sewer main for their connection. So we had coordinated with this development for a long time, knowing that that sewer connection should probably go under the water quality basin. That gives it the protection and the best location for that. So they're a tad ahead of our schedule, and so we looked at a number of things. They need this sewer line in by spring for those houses to be functional. We would really like to bid the whole project, but we're not quite there, and I think we need to make sure we can get that built. We talked about a number of ways that the SID could build the sewer main, and we come back in later. But the problem is with that water quality embankment, we as a district really want to be sure that the compaction is there and that it gets built the right way. So what we've come up with is an interlocal agreement with that SID that the district would bid this package of the water quality embankment and associated features with the sanitary sewer. The SID engineer will provide us with the plans and specs for that sanitary sewer, and they will provide all the construction observation for the sanitary sewer. That would be handled between the SID and the SID engineer. As for the cost of the sewer, then the SID would reimburse the district 100% for the that sewer connection cost. We'd be responsible for the embankment like normal. So that's how the interlocal is structured. We think that's the most efficient way to do it. Again, Mike's here if you have any questions about how that's going to work, and we'll try to answer any questions.
Thank you. We have a motion.
I'll move a staff recommendation.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Thompson?
So had we built this dam site ahead of time and things are fine, and then they start to develop, would we have had to go that way or that way and down to put in the sewer?
I think they'd have probably just come in after the fact and put it in after the
after the fact. Just because it's shorter and more economical.
Yeah. Right. I think that was always the plan, is to connect through.
Okay.
And there's an existing dam. One of the unique features about this one is this is just north of Tiburon Golf Course. You can kind of see it from the golf course, but you can see the pool there. So there's an existing dam there. So they kind of had to go around something anyway.
Yeah.
They just had to go out a little bit further with the new project, but the larger dam structure there.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions by directors? Roll call.
Butler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number 9, review and recommendation on renewal of USGS maintenance agreement for Papio flood water system gauges. Amanda?
Okay. This is just an annual renewal that we have with USGS for the flood warning gauges. We've had those since 1993. If you remember, in 2012, that's really when we brought in the USGS, and we kind of rehauled the whole system, and they took over maintenance. It's been, in my opinion, going great. The data is used tons more by everyone. It gets directly transmitted to the National Weather Service, and all of that's available to the public on the National Weather Service Valley at Omaha website. So you can, just like the river gauges, if you're used, we kind of talk about this every year, but you're used to using the Platte, Missouri river gauges, we have a Papio system set up the same way with the color coding and the flood stages listed. It's been a great system. This is just the annual renewal of that contract. The USGS uses two funding sources to try to match our dollars, and we renew it every year because there's always a possibility they could get some more money somewhere to match towards it. And this year, it really wasn't. Their matches are the same. They are paying $16,875 through one of their programs and $19,670 through another. That's the same as they paid last year. Costs go up a tiny bit every year, so of course then the district has the extra. So this year the district's contribution is $127,595, and it was just over $126,000 last year, so it's up over $1,000. And as a side note, we have an interlocal where we have a couple partners that help to pay this, Douglas, Sarpy County, City of Omaha. If there's any questions, there's really nothing new about the agreement this year, but if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Amanda. We can have a
move staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Teaser?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Aye. Item number 10, review and recommendation on groundwater monitoring joint funding agreement with USGS. Paul Woodard.
All right. Good afternoon. Just kind of lead into this. We did a couple months ago look at a proposal where we're potentially going to expand these sites. But this is the annual agreement to continue the existing ones that we have. We have six going on right now. And kind of what's happened, I guess, a little bit about the evolution of this, it did start as part of an ongoing study. Part of that study recommends continuing the monitoring of these. And actually, there's several other NRDs across the state are doing more continuous groundwater level monitoring. It doesn't replace going out and doing measurements once or twice a year, but it's a much better data set in that you see what's going on all the time, kind of like a stream flow gauge. And that we're actually leaning on that a little bit more lately. We've been using that in the drought contingency discussions, so we'll have conference calls with like DNR and Lincoln and MUD, and we'll be looking at those sites to see kind of what changes are going on within the groundwater levels and how might that affect the river or the municipal well fields. So that's been important as part of that. And then the only other thing I really wanted to mention before questions was that I did do a cost comparison where I went and saw what other getting equipment from like a private vendor would do, and then what our costs would be for that. And they were actually higher, about 25% higher for us to, in that case, we would take on all the maintenance of everything. And that just added up with the equipment and stuff that actually using USGS and letting them be responsible for everything was a better deal. And pretty much having them chip in the 25% does help. And we're doing this every year, like Amanda said, because we might get additional funding from year to year, depending on how that goes. So this time we are very comparable to last year. So our total cost out of the pocket for this year would be $13,350 to run those six gauges. So.
Thank you very much. Yep. Oh, we can have a motion.
Motion for staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I have a question. Director. How many years have we been doing this now, Paul?
So we've had these in place, I'm going to say, one of them since 2016, but the other one's from middle of 2018. So we're going on 4 years.
And you're keeping charts and graphs of the results of some sort, or?
Yeah, they're actually, you just go on online and you can see everything that's been going on. But I've been downloading it and keeping a record of it. And in the long term, what that helps us do, I guess the other piece that fits that, we talked a little bit about with the other sites, was that when we eventually do a model of the groundwater for the area, which will be important, if we just only have a couple points to make sure the model's accurate, like once or twice each year, we won't know that everything in the middle that happened in between those times is accurate. So this helps give us something to look at when we eventually do get a model to make sure it's to make sure what it's predicting is correct.
Eventually we get a model. I mean, how long does it take to get a model that you're talking about?
Well, that's where we're in the process of getting all the AM data ready. And basically there is a model out there that, that DNR produced, but we don't feel it's quite up to par. So that's why we're going to introduce this AEM data to improve that model. And then this groundwater level data will also be a part of saying, hey, was what DNR was doing, was that accurate? So we'll use that as kind of our check on their information.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what the ultimate benefit of doing this is.
The long-term benefit is to see that water movement and how that is going to affect different things. And then under drought scenarios, you know, we're able to better understand how much water might be in the river for Lincoln Wellfield's use, for different things like that. So it's okay. It's kind of a backup plan. I think there are already some. We do get yearly data, too, from three or four other sites where MUD has. And they have gauges that are constantly monitoring the groundwater, too. Ours aren't the only ones. So they see a benefit to it as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions from directors? Roll call.
Spinsky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Yes. Item number 11, review and recommendation on Platte River Bridge Trial Project Amendment 2 to the professional service agreement with Shimmer. Eric Williams.
Good afternoon. This is the bridge between Bellevue and Plattsmith. We've talked about this project a few times in the past. During the design phase, I think there's a map that reminds you where that's located. It's the highway bridge over the Platte River. There we go. The trail will be on the east side, the right side of the screen, on the existing bridge structure, but it will have kind of a cantilever out from the piers in the water. So during the design phase here, the consultant, Shimmer, identified that we will need some distance of retaining wall on the trail on the north side of the river. That was not expected during the original scoping of the design phase with MDOT. And so what we have is a consultant work order, essentially a consultant change order with Nebraska Department of Transportation to include the services related to the design of the retaining wall along the edge of the trail there. This will also provide information that Shimmer has found necessary during the construction phase. They are working on another project near 120th Street right now, and a number of questions came up from the contractor during the construction phase that needed to be answered, and that created some complicated amendments necessary in their contract on that project. So this also anticipates being prepared to answer questions for a similar type of project with a similar type of retaining wall in another location when the construction phase comes up, rather than having a challenge during that construction phase. So that information will be available during the design and ready when the bid of the trail occurs. The listed amount of the additional services here is $29,422.40. This project is an 80% federally funded project, 20% by the six local partners, the NRDs, the from both sides of the river, the counties from both sides of the river, and then the cities from both sides of the river. And the total amount of the new contract with this additional service would be $272,788.22. We have had, this is the second amendment, and so we are approaching 60% plans, and we'll get another update on the construction cost estimate with that plan set. At that time, we do expect that we will make an update to the interlocal agreement that specifies the percentage of cost share for each of the six partners in the project. And we wanted to wait until we had the updated construction cost estimate. This project began prior to a number of things changing. The cost of steel went up quite a lot. So there has been some increase in the construction cost estimate. We are not making a change to the interlocal at this time, but we do expect there will be a change for that 20% portion of the funding from the local partners in the future, probably in the next couple months or so. I'd be glad to answer any questions about the work here or the status on the project.
Thanks, Eric. We can have a motion.
I move to go staff recommendation.
Okay. We get a second.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Then Davis? Director Davidson, and then Director Thompson.
Me first. What's the construction phase of this project? Originally, it was supposed to be like in the fall of 2022, or is that what we're kind of looking at, or is that?
Yeah, we had talked with NDOT and asked them to put this on a timeline for bidding in the fall of 21. Last year and a half or so, while we've been doing design, has been pretty complicated. We are on pace for letting in the fall of 22 with construction in 23.
23 for construction? About how long a time frame would you estimate construction would last?
We've talked about that a little bit, whether that will be entirely completed in one construction season, meaning in 23, or if some portion will need to be in a second construction season. That'll be something that'll be worked out between the 60 and 90% plans, some of the final details related to the bridge deck. And we're not sure if it will be one season or if it will need a second construction season. We have talked about that.
Yeah, people in Bellevue and Plattsburgh are excited about this. We're getting a lot of questions about it, so I'm glad to hear it's moving forward. So
doing everything we can to keep it moving along.
So thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Is it the length of this retaining wall? Is it basically on land until the termination of the...
Not the entire length. It's... I don't think I have a length included here. Let me look real quick.
Roughly.
I mean, it's a couple hundred feet. So it's not the entire length. If you can scroll up on the map. There's a longer section of trail north of the bridge. But the retaining wall is maybe a third of the distance from the end of the bridge itself up toward Allied Road there where the levee is.
And I assume it's going to be one of those big, massive block.
It will be a large gravity block wall.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Ezer?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Minsky?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. You up again, Eric. Number 12, review and recommendation on FY 2022 long-range implementation plan. Eric Williams.
Great. Thanks very much. This is the annual update to the long-range implementation plan, which highlights the current expenditures for the district and then also projects the next 5 years. There have been a couple large changes, which we'll talk about. In the table of contents, the list of projects and programs has been expanded. And so the most noticeable change in the document would be specifically that WP 1, 2, 4, and DS 7, 12, and 19 are now included as individual projects in the list. So that kind of changed the numbering if you happen to be comparing this to last year. Also in that list, WP 6 is now referred to as Porter Recreation Area, and WP 7 as Big Elk Lake. Those are still current projects, and so we do continue to list current programs and projects until they are completed, at which time we transfer them over to generally the project maintenance channels and levees or project maintenance dams section. So some things have moved out of our current projects. We don't have any expected future work in those areas, so we move them over to the maintenance items. So those are probably the most noticeable changes. As you flip through the documents, we got a great updated NRD map across the state of Nebraska, so we included that this year. Thank you to the NARD for providing that. We updated the breakdown of the district staff. both in the written description as well as the organizational chart. We had several people who changed within the last year, so those are now reflected. And then as we get to the more lengthy narrative section of the programs and projects, on what's numbered page 16 in the documents, that's where Porto Recreation Area and Big Elk Lake are listed. And then on the next page, Zirinsky Basin 2 and the priority, the six priority projects are listed. We do still have, again, WP 6, 7, and ZB2, mostly because there is some lingering work to be completed on those, but when they are completed, they will move out of the current programs and projects area. The six priority projects are broken down and individually identified this year because there is significant work that will be occurring in all of those. A large amount of funding is allocated in the current budget to the land rights acquisition for these projects. That's reflected in Table 1 in the back. And then there is design and construction funding projected over the next couple of years. That's broken down in generally in Table 4. So that shows essentially where the projected five-year funding in each of these projects is. We had previously reported all of these projects under just one item, which was the Papio Creek and Tributaries project. So this time it looks a little different than last year. All of these are broken out into individual line items. In the current expenditures, some funding is shown under the Papio Tributaries project, but over the next 5 years, next four-year budget cycles in the tables in the back, that is broken down by these individual projects because this will be a pretty significant amount of expenditure over the next few years. So I think that's the most noticeable change. I'd be glad to answer any questions about either the narrative section, which has been updated for recent completed projects and expected future work, or the tables in the back, which again highlight the current year, which is Table 3, and the projected 5 years in Table 4 and 5.
Thanks, Eric. We can have a motion on management recommendation. This item.
So moved.
Got a motion. And a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Butler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sabinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes. Aye. And that completes my report.
Time is 4:33. We'll call the FEL subcommittee meeting to order. With that, presentation of the Open Meeting Act posting is posted in the rear of the room as previously announced. Item 3, quorum call.
Beckley?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
And
Tripperson? Here. Item 4, adoption agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of this meeting. Moving on to item 6, review and recommendation of storm sewer easements to North Shore 2 at Porto Recreation Area. Amanda.
Okay, hello again. Bill, can we go to the map again one more time? So this item on the agenda is for adjacent development to Porto Recreation Area. This is, so Cornhusker Road is up here, the water quality basin that goes up into Porto Recreation Area is right there. So this is a, North Shore 2 is a development that's been platted for quite a while. They're just starting work on it right now, and they need three permanent storm sewer easements that really just outlet their storm sewer basins into the water quality basin. So they have a treatment on their site, and then the outlet pipe goes to the water quality basin. We've coordinated all this work with them. So consideration tonight is really just giving them a permanent easement to do that. They are going to replace all the seating and the fencing because we had everything complete. So they will be putting that back and restoring everything. Also, as a side note, we really don't have to worry about this for very long because the transfer deed's already in the process of the City of Papillion for this project. So we're kind of covering this easement, and we'll turn it right over to them. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Floor, please.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments from the members of the public, staff, directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Beckett?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you. Item 7, review and recommendation of Elk Pigeon Creek Drainage Project, land right 01044430360, account over 110%. Justin.
Good evening, directors. I come before you hopefully one last time about land rights for Elk Creek here. There was a little snafu, I'll say, probably on my part more than anybody else's. When we had approved the purchase agreements, or the first two purchase agreements in May for the Nelson and Hall property, we had anticipated on closing on those before the end of the fiscal year. That did not happen. We closed on them about mid-July. So those actually carried over into this next fiscal year. So we had only allotted the $75,000 to close on the Roos property. And I did not catch that during the budget process. So I'm in front of you tonight to ask for forgiveness and some additional money so we can finish these land rights. On the side note, some good news on this project is we are moving along very well. I would say we're probably about two-thirds of the earthen embankment is built. We're anticipating having this project completed by the end of November if the weather holds out. And the contractor we have hired has done a fantastic job. So things are going well on this project. I'm just here in front of you tonight because it was, like I said, a little snafu on my part. So,
can we get a motion on the floor, please?
Move with staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Any comments from the general public? Staff? Directors? Director Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Prior, we'd take this out of the paycheck.
Well, you know, if I was making Winkler money, I'd say that'd be okay.
Oh, nice. In this case, I don't think we'll do that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You know, the first time, you just get this.
Let's have roll call.
Yes.
Bagley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Chairperson? Yes. Item 8, review and recommendation of Village of Arlington buyout reimbursement request. We're going to need to go into executive session, and I would so move.
Second.
Did we get a second? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Roll call.
Bagley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bagley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, remind me of that. We have a motion, staff recommendation on the board. Are there any, does anybody want to change that or amend it?
I'd like to amend that motion just to include that we will follow up and try to, you know, at least send a demand letter or a request at first and maybe a demand letter to for those property owners to reimburse.
Legal counsel okay with that?
I'll say.
No, is legal counsel okay with that?
You can find wording for it.
The question is, if since FEMA, we've been up the ladder with FEMA, and they've denied both of them our request. How will they take the idea that we're pursuing the owner of this for reimbursement?
I don't think they would know their business. I guess if they don't pay their reimbursement, they
don't care. Okay. All right.
They should have to actually chase the owner, but they're not going to.
Oh, okay. All right.
We have an amended motion on the floor. It has been seconded. Any other comments before we vote?
Can we read back what the motion is then?
If I might point one more, there was an original motion. There wasn't an original motion made, if I'm correct. The motion on the board plus the language makes it the motion.
Yeah.
Without an amendment. Do I understand that?
Yes.
So you inserted the words in that proposed motion, which is now the motion.
And then add the additional comment that, you know.
It's technically an amendment. It's
right.
Added language. Does everyone understand that?
So it's that language read with.
Plus the letter of demand, letter, whatever.
Okay.
Now the vote on the motion. Or first and second.
Are we, everybody good? Okay. We'll vote on the amended motion.
It was never voted on.
Vote on the original motion. Roll call. I'm getting confused in my old age.
Davidson?
Yes.
Norman?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairperson? Yes. Okay, now we need to...
Adjourned.
That's it.
We're done.
What we need to do is go home.
We have two more good subcommittees. Go ahead and adjourn your committee, man.
Meetings, we stand adjourned, and then we are going to ad hoc.
Take a 1 minute break.
Make great? Okay.
Yeah. Before we start with the ad hoc committee, we need a 1 minute break. A minute and a half.
Thank you.
Okay, I call, time is... I call to order the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for Professional Services for the Davids Creek WFPO project. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action.
I got it.
And we ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you very much. With that, could we have a quorum call?
Begley.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Sapinski.
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. And could we have a motion and a second for adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes. I have before me the proof of publication for the meeting notice, and with that, I will turn it over to you, Terry.
All right. Good evening. On September 7th, the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee selected JAO Consulting Group to provide professional services necessary for the Davis Creek Watershed WFPO project located in Burton, Washington County. And the initial phase will consist of preparing the preliminary investigation feasibility report, or an acronym is the PIFR. And if that's funded, then it'll lead to the, by the NRCS, it'll lead to the preparation and implementation of a watershed work plan. JAO and district staff have discussed and prepared a professional services agreement with a scope of services, time, and cost estimate for the project, which will be divided into phases. And the agreement before you is for a maximum fee of $28,530, which will include the professional services necessary to complete the PIFR. With that, we'll entertain questions.
First of all, do we have a motion to accept?
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Or from staff? Directors? Any questions? Nothing. All right. Well, are we ready to vote then? All right. Let's vote.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. You done? All right. Let me do this.
We are closed.
Perfect. Thank you.
World record time.
Yeah, I need that. No, you got it.
Larry, you got a challenge now.
All right, the time is 5:00.
9 p.m. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revision State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back of the wall of the meeting room. Calling this meeting to order. Notification, okay. So prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will first hear our staff proposals and recommendations, then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Quorum call.
Burnett. Davidson.
Here.
Jap.
Here.
Sapinski.
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. May I have an adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All right, and as mentioned, have proof of publication for the Open Meetings Act of the meeting notice. Number six, review and recommendation on initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews, Mr. Terry Schumacher.
Do we need to vote on
vote?
We need to vote on the agenda.
As you were.
Davidson?
Yes.
Jap?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes, and I flubbed that up. All right, now, okay, review and recommendation initially. Those consultants' questions, Mr. Terry Schumacher.
All right, the district advertised in Omaha World Herald and on the district's website for proposals for the Papillion Creek 319 Watershed Small Flood Control and Water Quality Structure Professional Services to construct a watershed structure in Washington County. There's an attached map that's posted on the board. The district received four proposals from the following firms, FIRA, HDR, JO, and Olson. Interviews are scheduled for November 4th, which is a Thursday at 4 p.m. And that's what we received for proposals on the project.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the public? Any questions from the staff?
Can I make a motion?
Sorry. I would like to make a motion to move forward with three of the four firms, JEO, HDR, and Fire Engineering. The materials.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
All right. For the motion's up for discussion.
I looked through them all as well. I guess my question is, what would Olson's? I mean, you know, to me, they all four look like they were legitimate. So I don't know what. I mean, what can we discuss? What the problem was with these, with the Olson, or why did? What would staff recommend?
If you were going to break it down to three, we would recommend these three.
You would recommend those three? Okay. And that's normally what we do. We interview three?
We normally, the policy said three, but we've interviewed four before, and that would have been fine too. But if one, I think we agree that probably these three firms
would meet qualifications more than Olson at this time. Okay. And also just
it's, it costs quite a bit for a firm to put together proposals and you know, the interviews
and things. So it looks like the, you have the top three in fairness.
So they don't put the time and everything. Okay.
Makes sense. All right. Yep. Any other directors? What specifically is Olson, excuse me, specifically, why wouldn't they be qualified at this time? I mean, say at this time, what jumped out? I mean, I reviewed the materials too, and I'd expect to interview them.
Well,
is it their timing? Are they on another project? Are you worried about their staff? Or
I think we are concerned right now. They've lost two or three of their water resources staff, which are the staff, the engineers that do this work. And I think they're the only firm that didn't go out and call Terry to ask him, let's go look at the site. And I think they may have been familiar with it from previous, but really didn't ask to go look into it now that we're out of proposal. But I think that's probably my biggest concern right now, is that they've got the horses to do the job.
Director Japp?
I just had a basic question. So we're going to interview three of them then, three firms possibly? If it comes through like that, we would set up a date to interview these three? Is that right?
The motion passes.
Right. Okay. My other question was regarding engineering services. Typically, we, you know, we negotiate some sort of a fee. This is not an in Omaha type thing. So is it different then as what's required to do this project because it's not within city limits?
No, so we would select the firm, and then when you select a firm after the interviews, then we negotiate the dollar.
Right.
So we don't have any dollar amount up front. You're going to select the highest.
Correct. I understand that part of it. But it comes down to construction, we'll put that out for bids, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So just curious, why don't we ever put out engineering services for bid like a project like this? Why don't you just have them bid on it?
Can I answer that?
Go ahead, Director.
Mr. Chairman, go ahead.
It's a professional service, and in our policies, you can't put out for bid, like a closed bid, what's your professional service dollar, because it so varies so much.
I'm just curious, but do other NRDs do it that way?
All NRDs
do it the way we do it. All government entities do it the way we do it.
Professional services is typically qualification-based, not dollar-based. But if they're
all qualified...
Well,
I'm just asking
questions.
You pick the most qualified.
The best qualified.
Okay.
And if you can't come up with an agreeable dollar amount, then you can go to the next qualified firm. So
all right. So we have a dollar amount in mind. Is that right? Or we think we will? Okay.
Anybody else?
We have a scope of work.
Let's vote on the motion.
Japp.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Burnett.
No.
Davidson.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. All right. I think that covers the ad hoc. We are adjourned.
Thank you.